When there's daylight in Seattle, it's usually nighttime in Ukraine. But that time difference is of little matter to many Ukrainians here who are anxious for news of the crisis unfolding in their motherland.
Ourselves, we have 32 channels from Ukraine, so we can watch every day. We watch with my wife until 3 a.m., and then I slept like a few hours and go to the work.
The Seattle area is home to a booming Ukrainian population. It's the fifth largest in the country and one of the fastest growing. Even from thousands of miles away, some people here are joining in Ukraine's political struggle, as KUOW's Liz Jones reports.
Hi, Petro.
Yeah, hi, Liz.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thank you. Come on in.
Peter Drogomiratsky moved from Ukraine to Seattle about 22 years ago, along with his wife.
My name is Valia, but it's hard to say Valia, and I'm here, Valentina.
Two other Ukrainian families are gathered at their home just north of Seattle. In the kitchen, Valentina makes coffee and nudges her guests toward platters of smoked fish and egg salad. Off in the formal living room, two little girls are playing. The older one is teaching the other how to somersault. It feels a bit like a family reunion. Peter says the Ukrainian community here is pretty tight. He estimates there are about 100,000 people. The 2010 census puts it closer to 50,000, but steadily growing. Many are part of what's called the fourth wave of immigration from Ukraine. It started in the late 80s.
If you remember, that was kind of economy issue and the Soviet system collapse, no work. And that was the reason to kind of challenge and look for the better life.
Peter is president of the Ukrainian Association of Washington State. Since 1971, it's mainly operated as a cultural heritage group, until recently.
We've never been involved in the political debates like we are right now in this time, because for the past 22 years where I'm living here, we never have this such situation in Ukraine. So.
A question at the heart of this crisis in Ukraine is whether the country should align more with the European Union or Russia. It's led to deadly protests, the removal of President Yanukovych, major economic instability, and escalating conflict with Russia. As we talk in the living room, everyone shares how they get news from Ukraine. A lot comes from social media. Olha Krupa, a college professor, mentions how she's seen rifts between Russians and Ukrainians crop up on Facebook.
Basically, somebody from Kharkiv would unfriend somebody from Moscow who were best buddies, and now they have fought over something that they've seen on TV on different channels.
Here, locally, they say Ukrainian and Russian immigrants tend to get along just fine. Yulia Shadiria left Ukraine at age 15. As a kid, she spent summers in Russia and has a lot of ties there.
Right now, I'm extremely, extremely disappointed in Russia. It just doesn't fit in my brain how, like, a nation can call you their brother and at the same time attack.
From across the room, Olha suggests that feeling of disappointment is more common in eastern Ukraine. But farther from the Russian border, where she's from,
we don't consider them our brothers, and we never had.
In the next room, Ukrainian cartoons keep the kids entertained. Both Olha and Yulia talk with their daughters about the situation back home. Yulia says she put it in terms her five-year-old could easily grasp as a Robin Hood story.
Like, Yanukovych is kind of like Prince John, so he wants to collect taxes and taxes and taxes, and he's always hungry for money, and people are kind of like Robin Hood, or like people that they're laughing at him, but they're also, you know, suffering.
Members of this Ukrainian association have held several local rallies to support the protest in Ukraine. They've also raised about $20,000. Peter says most of that goes to help people injured in the street violence.
I remember like a last 2000 we sent the one actually man was shot by the riot police in the head, and he got some trauma. That's our main kind of deal right now.
Back in the kitchen, Valentina sets out dessert plates and coffee. Then she causes a stir as the other women glimpse inside her fridge. It's well stocked with groceries from a nearby Ukrainian market. including Russian items others are boycotting.
It's made in Russia.
Oh, so this is Russian.
Yes, and people not buying. And I'm sorry, but I'm talking about that now.
You're throwing it away because it's Russian?
Well, I will finish, but never buy again.
Never throw away.
Olha makes a joke that Ukrainians never throw food away.
What is that anyway?
It's my business.
Oh, yeah.
With an apologetic shrug, Valentina places her Russian mayonnaise back in the fridge.
Oh, we support it this way, okay?
I'm Liz Jones, KUOW News.
But it's olive, mm-hmm. And it's a good one. It's different taste that we...